Greetings, you beautiful humans. I'm back. This is your friendly neighborhood podcast host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one lovable package, Glenn Klein online on a beautiful day in Tampa Bay for a terrific, tremendous Tuesday, October 26, 2021. The only 10-26-2-0-2-1 in the history of humanity. Let us continue to choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a tremendous Tuesday and a life. I'm having a life. How about you? I am a person who is just grabbing life by the gonads and yanking and see what comes out, the noises, the sensations. It's a beautiful thing. Yes, this is the first GKO in many months. I had the summer off, was in the beautiful North Woods all summer, working on my next book, which is entitled The Book for Men, Masculinity in the Age of Wokeness. You're not going to want to miss that one. It's coming along quite nicely. I'm very happy with it. Speaking of books, my book on the pandemic, Early Wake-Up Call, is setting all kinds of records. Not in sales, but in predictions that have come to pass. That was the book that was published last two Junes ago now. I wrote it during this early spring of the infamous 2020. And it's remarkable. It's available on Amazon. You can listen to it for free there on Audible. And it's called Early Wake-Up Call, How a Coach's Early Warnings About the Pandemic Can Help You Now. Since we last spoke, my Tampa Bay Lightning won their second back-to-back Stanley Cup. My Chicago Cubs were involved in a major fire sale during the summer. Very bummed out about that. You guys know how much I enjoy sports and how we utilize athletics as a metaphor for life. So good. And my Tampa Bay Rays bowed out to the Boston Red Sox, who lost to the Houston Astros, and the Astros are going to the World Series, and that is the subject of the beginning of this GKO. We have a special guest online. He happens to be the sports director of WBSB-TV Channel 2, the ABC affiliate, in the hometown of the other participant in this year's World Series. He comes to us live from Minute Maid Park, where Game 1 is tonight. Please welcome back online, Zachary Fitzgerald Klein. Zeke!
Nalge.
How are you?
My friend. Miss you, cuz. Love you, cuz. It is a fantastic day here in Houston. A little humid and hot outside, but the roof is closed.
The roof is closed.
Some Game 1 bells. Yes, roof is closed. Game 1 baseball tonight, World Series, Braves-Astros. Pretty pumped up about it.
How does the closing of the Minute Maid Park roof affect hitters, do they say?
Well, you know, when you come here, you're surprised, Glenn, how close the left field porch is to the batter's box. And I was watching batting practice yesterday, and every single Braves player naturally wants to hit it towards the train out and left. So everybody's trying to go yard. There's no wind. It's air conditioned. It's a perfect setting. It's going to be extremely loud in this place, nearly 43,000 strong. So I think it affects the Braves hitters because everybody wants to go yard because they see that short porch, about 315, the shortest left field porch in all of the National League. So they're going to try to be hero ball, and that's what they cannot do. That's what got them into trouble in the middle of the Dodgers series. Everyone wants to be the star. Everyone makes the highlight. But just do what Eddie Rosario did, Glenn. Base hit after base hit after base hit, and then when the pitch comes your way, then you hit a home run. You don't have to hit a home run every single time you have to play.
Ken the Hawk Harrelson would say, just keep the line moving, boys.
That's it.
That's all you got to do.
Very simple philosophy. Get them on, get them over, get them in, right?
Zach Klein is having a speaking of having a great life, he is having a great career and a great life in his own right. He is the father of two. He is the significantly less half of the Renee and Zach Klein combo there in Hotlanta. And he's known for many, many great things, not least of which, and maybe the greatest, are his two amazing children, Courtney and Carter. The first C-Man Klein, everybody knows that as loyal listeners to this quality podcast, that we have a C-Man named Connor Klein, who's 3 years old. Carter Klein, I want to say, is 13. Is that true?
Just turned 14 in August. 14.
Yes, 14
in August. Close. And
I believe.
My daughter is 16 going on 26.
And he, good luck with that. He may be the youngest winner of the Camp Menominee Golf Open in CM history. Carter took away the championship this last summer in the aforementioned Northwoods. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. It was a big honor for the Kleins. It represents, get it done on the links. He also represented his old man by being named Junior League, Twilight League, MVP.
Nice.
So we continue that tradition. The guy's got a good gig. I'm happy for him.
He's such a good boy, and I really don't know him that well because you know, he's in camp and I'm not, but I hear incredible things about him from the Camp Menominee faithful that do know him, that work with him as in his cabin and out at activities. And I get such a kick out of his Instagram feed. I mean, he is a chip off the old block. Does he want to follow in his old man's footsteps as a broadcaster and sports reporter?
I think it's a, you know, listen, he loves sports. He loves being around the athletes. It's all he knows, Glenn, right? So, you know, it just from his perspective, you know, anytime I'm at a game and he's there, I get him on the field. Every time I'm at a game and he's there, he's got unbelievable seats. Every time I'm hanging around the Matt Ryans, the Freddie Freemans, the Dansby Swansons, he thinks like we're friends. And I remember it was probably like 9 or 10 years old. And he's like, he gave me his list for the people coming to his birthday party. And it was his buddies in school, you know, Jeff and John and Jacob. And then it was Freddie Freeman. It was Matt Ryan. And I think he wanted a few other, you know, Braves and, you know, Kirby Smart. That's what he expects. That's all he knows. So he's got a pure heart, a heart of gold. I don't know if he wants to get in the broadcasting aspect of sports, but there's definitely a part of the athletic field I can see him partaking in down the road.
Now, he is a great golfer for his age. And
one he of loves the, it. One know, of the we've talked about this. Yeah, it's I think it's the best sport, Glenn, for that generation, because as you know, it's impossible. You can never master it. You need hard work. It's not instant gratification. You have the gentleman aspect of shaking someone's hand, taking off your hat, looking someone in the eye, the ethics involved in the sport. I think it's just a beautiful game, and he's grown up so much in life because of golf. So I'm very happy that he has taken hold to that sport and continues to thrive in it.
We are realistic in the Klein family with our athletic prowess. Pretty good athletic genes, but not to that top level ever. Although your dad, Mitch, who, of course, you guys who follow me on social media, Zach's dad, Mitchell, is my arch nemesis on social media. But and he always says, like, what, you guys are cousins? What is this with you Kleins? And your dad says at some point something to the effect of you've obviously never been to one of our family dinners, which was pretty funny. But Mitchell, your father, maintained that he could have been an NFL punter. Has he ever told you that?
Yeah, he believes that. I remember watching him as a kid playing in a men's league, just bombing, you know, 50-yard punts like there was nothing. He just woke up out of bed, you know, no stretching, no training, nothing like that. And he was a legend. I think he could have done it. But, you know, he just wasn't that priority. You know, sports was huge for him as an amateur. But I think it's probably one of a regret, at least not trying to walk on at Illinois, you know, compete on the Big Ten team right there where he went to school. It would have been something, but he definitely loved that aspect of the game.
Yeah,
sure.
I would say that he probably is the greatest Klein athlete, your dad. My brother, Jimmy, is a close second. Jimmy just competed in a baseball tournament, of all things, an over-50 baseball tournament in Scottsdale, like a legitimate baseball game. They took, I think, third or fourth place out there in Scottsdale. But we are realistic about our athletic prowess. And do you think that Carter has the bones, if you will, to do something in golf?
Not right now.
No.
I don't, because I see what it takes, Glenn, to get to the highest level. And I see all these parents and all these wannabe professional outs by the thousands. Like who doesn't want to be with your kid, want to be a professional athlete? But I know what it takes to get there, and it's all consuming. It is all everything. You just can't wake up out of bed, put on a glove, kick a soccer ball, grab a hoop, grab a 9-iron, and then just make it on a PGA tour. It's all you think about, and it's all you dream about. It's all you want to do. And what I love about my son is that he has other interests. He likes being social. He likes playing soccer. He likes playing, you know, pick up hoop. And, you know, to be a successful professional athlete in the best of the world, you got to lock in and focus on that and that thing only. You got to eat right. You got to have your mind right. You have to have your body right. I mean, look what Tom Brady does at 40-something years old, having an MVP-type season.
44 years old.
Yeah.
That's most incredible.
And then there's a trade-off, right? I mean, he's missing a lot of his kids.
He says he could play till 55, he thinks.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know if he wants to miss all his family stuff. So
right.
We'll see.
But right now he's all in on that sport, and look what it's gotten him. So back to the original question, no, because he's got other interests.
Yeah,
now,
it is
that
good.
Change?
Yeah.
Yes, but you know, you're kind of getting to that point where now you're competing
right.
against other kids who have been doing that all their lives.
Right.
And listen, when you're a golfer, take golf for example. I mean, you and I play. I mean, Glenn.
I don't play golf.
I broadcast in front of. You don't play golf?
I don't have the patience for it, Zach.
Right, you need patience.
No, I just Judah and Jacob, my third and second sons, they're huge golfers. They love the golf, but I have never gotten into it. Your grandpa Alan was a great golfer. My father. Your uncle Bobby never golfed. We have similar personalities that way. My dad and I. I don't have the patience for it.
I've broadcast in front of hundreds of thousands of people watching live shows. You know, Macy's tree lighting. I've introduced bands in front of a stadium of 85,000 people. I have never been more nervous in my life than on the first tee of the Oklahoma City Amateur, you know, with in front of like nine people than I was at that moment. But that's what it takes to be successful. You got to get yourself in the position to be uncomfortable. You have to play in front of crowds. So I don't think Carter, all of a sudden at 17, can play in a state championship golf tournament with a couple people watching him. You know, he's going to, you know, poop his pants, as would anyone in that moment. So he just got to get used to it, as would anybody, whether it's junior baseball, volleyball for the girls, you know, soccer for men and women, golf for men and women. I think you just have to put yourself in the position to succeed at a young age. But you look at Jordan Spieth. Up until 14, Glenn, he played three sports, baseball, basketball, and golf. And then at the time, he knew he wanted to be professional, and he locked in on golf. And obviously, he's a multiple major winner. But as far as Carter goes, until he locks in, just enjoy the ride, man. Have fun. And one day when you're of age, enjoy a couple suds with your buddies after the round.
You're going to go to fantasy camp with him one day, back at Camp Menominee?
I would love to go. I just don't want to pull anything.
You'll pull something. You'll pull something.
Exactly. Right. Get back on Bob Bender Senior Diamond. You have flashbacks of what your youth was. And
you're going to pull something.
Pull something. Yeah, I don't want to do that right now. I'm too old.
Speaking of Camp Menominee, another famous Menominee alum, Rich Cohen, just came out with another New York Times bestseller book on being a parent in sports, focusing on hockey. Did you see this?
I have not.
It's called Pee-wee's, and it's amazing. You would love this book as a parent, as a sports guy, and as a parent of a sports kid, or kids, actually. It's called Pee-wee's, you guys. It's the life of a hockey parent. It's incredible. It's one of his best. Of course, he's got so many good books. He wrote a book on the Cubs. He wrote a book on the Chicago Bears. He wrote a book on the Jewish mob. He was part of the Rolling Stones entourage, and he wrote an incredible book on the Stones. Anyway, he went to Camp Menominee. He says he's threatening to write a book on the history of Camp Menominee.
Wow, that'd be really cool.
He said he's serious about it. Camp Menominee shows up in all of his books one way or another, Rich Cohen.
I'd read that in a heartbeat. Speaking of hockey, by the way, did you see the Netflix documentary, Crime and Penalties?
I have not seen it yet. It's been recommended to me by several people.
And it is amazing.
I'm looking forward to it. And so, speaking of famous rock and roll bands, which bands did you introduce for 85,000 people?
When I was working in Oklahoma, this was the late 1990s. It was three bands. It was Gin Blossoms. It was who was the other one? It was kind of like those 90s pop bands.
You're talking about the wrong guy.
There were three of them. Yeah, Third Eye Blind. They were there as well. And there was one other group. It was really cool, man. At that moment, Glenn, when you, because I'm like, you know, Stillwater, are you ready? And they're like, hey, and they're like, I can't. And then you have them in the palm of your hand. And at that moment, you're like, yeah, that'd be really cool to be a lead singer of a rock and roll band. All eyes on you, man. That's pretty sweet.
You, very much a great athlete growing up, MVP, as you said, at Camp Menominee softball. And had a storied career at the friendly confines in Eagle River, Wisconsin. But you were kind of a chunky kid growing up.
I was fat. I wasn't chunky.
I wouldn't say fat. I was fat off and on and have been. The gene pool in the Kleins varies. Mitchell's got the diamond side. Richard, I would say, kind of a combination. Your uncle Richard. You were a thick hit. And a little bit slow, but now you're in the skinny jeans on the ball fields and in the football stadium. What did you do? What program are you on?
I mean, yeah, it's been 20 something years since, you know, at my high, Glenn, I was 220 something in college, you know, drinking late, smoking late, eating, you know, horrible foods as one would do in college. And, you know, then I looked on TV and I said, you know, how many, you know, fat non-professional athletes have jobs on air? And there was zero. So at that moment, I got smart about my diet, cut out all fast foods. Just kind of watch what I ate and worked out. And it's amazing what happens when you take care of your body, get some sleep, you know, eat healthy, how the weight just sheds off. I was lucky to drop it. And my high was about 220-something, as I said. Right now I'm in the low 160s. I feel great, ton of more energy, and feel better at 40, almost 8, than I did at 18. So anybody can do it out there. Anyone in your listening audience can, you know, you got to commit, right? I mean, Glenn, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
True.
But you have to be disciplined. You got to be focused. And if you really want it, man, there's no doubt everyone that's listened to this can reach their potential.
And your wife, Renee, is involved in helping people in that regard and many different very positive, both with mental health issues. And
yeah,
I mean, so when you have a trophy wife, you're maybe a little bit more motivated as well, Zach, perhaps.
Yeah, she's amazing. She works for a company called Arbom Health and Wellness. You know, mental health is very close to her heart because it's in her family. And it's a very important issue that needs to be talked about more openly, honestly. And I'm proud of her for giving back to that community in that space and raising money and awareness for a very serious issue in our country and the world, for that matter.
Yeah, we've done a lot of work on the Quality Podcast on mental health. We've talked a lot about it, and, you know, a huge fan of Renee's for that and for many other reasons. We're talking with Atlanta sports director Zach Klein from the World Series at Minute Maid Park. He is the sports director of the ABC affiliate in Hotlanta on Channel 2, WSB Television. Also, the former and future home of Angel and Hannah Klein-Chiclana of acting and music fame. Angel's getting his SCAD scholarship finished up. 4 years. Mm-hmm. He got a full ride to SCAD in Savannah. That's a $70,000 a year scholarship. That's like getting a scholarship to Georgia or Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. Or Harvard. I mean, in that space, that's the best of the best. Congrats. What an accomplishment. No doubt. You know, that was a stock I'm buying in right now.
Yes, you're better getting quick because they're expanding.
I want friends and family IPO on that.
You can get friends and family, and number three grandchild is baking inside Hannah as we speak. So that's pretty cool. I mean, that's very cool. And they are on a national commercial on Experian Boost. You will see them.
I have seen that commercial. I have.
Yeah, you'll
it's
see
so
them.
So cute.
Yeah,
they're
so did Freddie Freeman or Matt Ryan come to Carter's birthday party?
No, they did not. But for Carter's bar mitzvah video that I put together, I had Dan Quinn, the former Atlanta Falcon head coach, current defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. I had Dansby Swanson. I had Matt Ryan. I had Ronald Acuna. I had Alex Anthopoulos, the GM, general manager of the Atlanta Braves, all giving him a personalized shout-out for his video, and it was cool. Anthopoulos said, you know, listen, Carter, we've been scouting you since you were 4 years old, and I put video of him playing when he was four over it. You know, I think you and Acuna and outfield are going to bring us to the World Series. Darren Eels, the president of Atlanta United, said, you know, Carter, you're the man. You are an unbelievable defensive back. I want to, you know, sign you to a contract. And then I had Brad Buzan, the Atlanta United goalie, say, you know, Carter, you know, mazel tov on the big day with you in front of me holding down the fort. You know, more MLS Cups are in our future. So I was able to pull a few strings and call a few
friends.
That's
great. That's awesome.
That favor. But, you know, it was amazing to me of all those guys, you know, future Hall of Famers and Matt Ryan, all the all-stars that we had in this video, he and his buddies freaked out the most when I had the guys from Dude Perfect, like the trick shot guys from YouTube stars,
yeah,
give him a shout out. Like, and that was like, they thought that was the craziest thing they've ever seen in their life.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So who's your closest friend on the Braves, if you had to say?
Well, you know, I remember 13 years ago, Glenn, being in the old Turner Field dugout when a kind of a puffy face, tall, you know, awkwardly shy Freddie Freeman came to the dugout and introduced himself. And, you know, he's been the face of the franchise after Chipper retired for, you know, the last 7-8 years. Really good people, very active in the community. Dansby Swanson's a local kid, played his high school ball at a high school in Marietta, which is, you know, a suburb of Atlanta. They're just really good people, a lot of good friends in that front office, and I really wish them well. It'd be great for the city, great for that franchise. They've overcome a lot, and you know, I think they're going to get it done this week.
A lot of Brave fans around the world, around the country, because back in the day when WTBS, Turner, which becomes TBS, was the superstation. And so between Correct. The Braves and the Cubs, the Cubs were really the first one with WGN, that was the only game in town. The Cubs were on many afternoons, the Braves at night. And, of course, it was the southernmost Major League Baseball team until the Rays and the Marlins showed up. And so you have a lot of Braves fans in the Tampa Bay Huge. Area. And we're definitely pulling for the Braves. You said that, you know, the franchise has gone through a lot. They have that great stretch with Bobby Cox and only winning one World Series. Then you fast forward, they've got this up-and-coming team, and Atlanta is hosting the All-Star Game. And then because of the controversy over the voting laws in Georgia, they move it to Denver. What kind of impact did that
have? They being baseball.
Major League Baseball, obviously not the Braves, and not the players. What kind of what kind of effect did that have on the community as a whole?
It was brutal. Yeah. I mean, listen, Glenn, they moved away from Turner Field in the city of Atlanta because the leadership at that point was egotistical. When the Braves and the Falcons wanted new ballparks, and they needed them, right? The Braves had recently put in, at the time, nearly $300 million in that stadium for, like, infrastructure things that the fans would never see, you know, wiring conduct and, you know, just infrastructure improvements. And they're like, listen, we need a place. We need better parking. We need better amenities. And at the time, the city of Atlanta put their eggs in the Falcons basket and helped them build a $1.3 billion Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It could have done both. They should have done both. But instead, the Braves in the middle of the night go to Cobb County. You know, 90% of their audience is out that way in terms of their season ticket loyalty group. And in this ballpark, it's kind of like what they're going to do in Chicago, where the Bears bought the Arlington racetrack. You're building a community around it. Hundreds of condominiums and apartments and restaurants and shops. It's a hub for everything. And when you take the All-Star Game, Glenn, away from that, these individuals were preparing for that since it was announced. They had all these programs, all these initiatives, all these events. You know, it's not the Super Bowl, but it's the, you know, arguably the second biggest thing in baseball during the year because the whole country comes in. It was a multi-million dollar economic impact that never happened.
They said it was a $100 million hit. For a city that has majority black business owners, that's the sad thing about it. I mean, there's so many sad things about it.
Well, not in Cobb County. I mean, that's the thing. In the heart of Atlanta, you would say yes, but where they are, I mean, it's white as you can get, Glenn. That's where their ballpark is now. But again, you know, when they look at the demographic of their fan base, you know, mostly it is white, male, older. So they're going to where their constituents are right now. But the community has supported them. You know, they've had record crowds. And it's amazing what happens when you put on a good product. But, you know, the world, I mean, but they're not, when you talk about the $100 million impact, to your point, not everybody coming in from around the country is going to Cobb County. They are going to Midtown. They are going to Buckhead. They are going to downtown Atlanta to fill up those bars, to fill up those restaurants, to make it a part of that weekend. So, yes, there was many, many African-American, you know, businesses that were affected by that. Every business was affected by it when you're talking $100 million gone because of politics.
The irony that the Braves are now hosting the World Series, it was like, all right, screw you. We'll just win the National League pennant, and then we can host three or four games. Or I guess it'll be three games, potentially. The Astros, of course, are in Houston, Texas, and we've got two of the most politically incorrect states, both with voter ID laws, hosting this thing. I mean, just the speaking of wokeism, as I was talking about my next book, they have got to be just like their eyes have got to be spinning over. It's ironic. It's funny. And we know it's a great product is going to be put on the field by both the Braves and the Astros. So are the Astros still cheating?
You know, they've been asked about it, as they're going to be. You know, they talked about it yesterday during media availability when, you know, most of the starters were there. And they say, listen, you know, obviously, you know, what happened was wrong. You know, it was an unfortunate. We own it. But we've been able to get to the World Series three out of the last 5 years, and that happened in 2017. You know, you don't beat a great Boston Red Sox team without being really, really good. They got players all over the diamond, Glenn, as you know. They're not afraid of everybody. They won 95 games in the regular season. You know, so did they cheat in the past? Yes. Did they cheat this year to get here? No. They're the real deal.
I think the Red Sox fans thought they might have been cheating tonight or this season. There was definitely some whistling going on. Are people talking about it? Do the players get asked by the press corps, or does just nobody have any gonads to go there anymore?
Oh, no. I mean, yeah, again, like I said, they were asked about it yesterday. They said, yeah, I mean, that was in the past. It was 4 years ago. We apologized. We've moved on. Mm-hmm. This wasn't in 2019. It wasn't in 2018. This wasn't in 2020. It's 2021. That happened in 2017. People lost jobs for it. People are going to call us an asterisk by it. Yeah, you guys have every right to say that.
I think they should have taken the title away from them. I do. What do you think?
They cheated, man. But, you know, there's cheating in every single sport. You know, it's just, do I respect them? No, because they still had unbelievable talent. You know, it was a shame. But to me, you know, it's more a damage to the reputation. I could care less if they have a ring or not. I could care less if they have a trophy or a banner here at Minute Maid Park. You know, they will always have to live it, whether you're, you know, Jose Altuve or anyone else on that team. You know, if he eventually goes into the Hall of Fame, it will be .. won a World Series, but. And he's got to live with that.
Yeah,
so, you
yeah.
know, let him have with that ring. Let him have that banner. To me, it's more about the reputation than the black eye on, you know, their character.
Charlie Morton going on the Hill, former Tampa Bay Ray.
Such a stud.
The Braves.
Right?
Yeah.
You guys loved him there.
Yeah, we sure did, and we miss him against Valdez for the Strohs. And what's the key to tonight's contest?
To me, it's, you know, it's very cliche, Glenn, but they talk about pitching. The Braves have been, you know, lights out. I mean, look what they did with that Dodger lineup. Their bullpen has been absolutely amazing. Luke Jackson had the one blemish to Cody Bellinger on that three-run home run. But that was 5 inches out of the strikes, and it was a really good pitch. I think Houston, their pitching staff, is a little bit hurt, a little bit tired. But their lineup is the truth. Led Major League Baseball in slugging percentage, you know, top three. And with runners in scoring position, you know, they can hit to all fields. They play unbelievable defense. But, you know, I think if the Braves starters, Glenn, whether it's tonight and Charlie Morton, tomorrow and Max Fried, Ian Anderson in game three, if they can go, you know, in this day and age, Glenn, it's not like when you and I grew up where you want your starters going in the eighth. You know, these guys can get you to the fifth or sixth. It's been an unbelievable accomplishment.
Right.
I think that'll be the difference. The starting pitching, what the score will be when both teams turn to their bullpen.
I've got the Braves in six. What say you?
As do I.
You're
saying
same
thing.
Six?
Braves
good.
In six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
You know, listen, this is a team of destiny. You know, we lost Hank Aaron at the beginning of the year. Don Simpson, Phil Niekro, you know, Hall of Famers, legendary characters. You know, I can't say enough amazing things about, you know, Hammer and Hank. So definitely those three powerful men, institutions in the game and Atlanta, will be watching down, kind of, you know, supporting from above.
When Henry Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record in Atlanta against Al Downing of your Los Angeles Dodgers, it was a huge thing, man. I mean, that's baseball was still very much the national pastime. And that fall or winter, whenever Sports Illustrated came out with their Sportsman of the Year, instead of picking Henry Aaron, I think they picked Secretariat the Horse. Hmm. And I was a freshman in high school, and I was working at the radio station in Maine East at Park Ridge, Illinois. And I wrote a letter to the editor of Sports Illustrated. and that I thought that it was an absolute crime that Henry Aaron wasn't named, given everything that he had to put up with the racism and everything.
Right.
And they printed the letter.
And wow.
Yeah, and so my kids threw out all my high school memorabilia by accident when we moved to Florida. And the other, I don't know how the hell I stumbled on it, but there was Sports Illustrated Archives online. And I found that magazine, and I found my my freaking letter to
that's
the editor.
That's so cool.
When I was like 15, yeah, standing up for Hammer and Hank Aaron.
Listen, Glenn, there are very few people that transcend sport that are heroes 40 years after they
right.
played the game. And I have never seen in my 25 years in the business two people that other athletes and everyone else stops what they are doing when this individual walks in the room. Michael Jeffrey Jordan and Hank Aaron. I can't tell you how many times we'd be in spring training in Florida. Hank would come down, sit in the dugout, and whether it was a John Smoltz, a Chipper Jones, a Freddie Freeman, guys from the other team, they would stop batting practice, stop taking grounders. They would go over to him with a ball in hand and, hey, mister, these are guys, you know, making $15 million a year. Guys that, you know, have, you know, just see this living legend in front of them asking for an autograph and to share a story. And that's who Hank Aaron was. He and Jordan stopped every single room when they made their presence in.
That's awesome. Did you get to know him at all?
Yeah, and we spent time, and it will arguably go down as the greatest regret of my life. We were trying to do something with Hank for Black History Month, preparing for it was MLK weekend, Dr. King's weekend in Atlanta, and I reached out to his secretary to get a quick interview about Dr. King and from Hank, and she didn't respond for 3 days. And finally, she gets back to me the day of the segment was supposed to air and said, Hank can visit you at 2 o'clock later today. And I said, you know, thank you so much. We're all good. We were able to fill the segment with some other content. But how about like in the next week or two for Black History Month? And she's like, yeah, Zach, Hank would love to visit you. Let's put something on the books. He passed away 48 hours later.
Oh, wow.
So it would have been the last interview in Hank Aaron's life. But you know, he was in his early 80s. He was always in good health. He's always had a smile. Now he was frail, Glenn. He walked with a cane. He had bad hips. But you know, he was just a tender soul, a beautiful human, and went through so many things that you and I cannot even come close to comprehending. And, a life gone too soon. It was sad. It was a sad moment in Atlanta and definitely around the United States and in the baseball community.
Well, they've got number 44 on their uniforms. They've got 44 carved, if you will, in the center field grass at Truist Park. And I'll tell you, I love Atlanta, man. I never spent much time there. But when Hannah and Angel moved there, Hannah's agent was in Atlanta and still is, and they were going to move back. But I really got to spend some time downtown, and I've seen the Ebenezer Baptist Church in so many different documentaries and film from that area, and I got to go to Ebenezer Baptist Church. It was phenomenal.
Powerful.
Yeah, it's very powerful.
It's a beautiful city. I think we're up to like the sixth or seventh largest city in the United States. So much diversity, so much culture. It's a melting pot of America right now. Tech's moving there. You mentioned the entertainment industry that's there. I think it's the second biggest movie producing area besides, you know, California and Los Angeles and Hollywood. So, we talked about buying stock in, your son-in-law and his future and your daughter. I'm buying stock in the city of Atlanta, man. It's a beautiful place. And I hope someone in your audience can come to Atlanta. Happy to buy him a beer.
So if Eyewitness News in Chicago, Channel 7, Eyewitness News, offered you that sports director job.
Never. Done.
You would go?
Never. I would never go. I'm never leaving Atlanta. I love it. My kids, weren't born here, but raised here. Too many friends, too many connections, too much love. It's the number one ABC station in America. I'm very blessed to work at this position, at this station. I have not had an off day in 5 weeks, but I'm not.
Yeah, you went. You were at Wimbledon for
I was in London. Yeah, London for the Falcons game.
Yeah,
traveling coast to coast. But I'm talking to Glenn Klein on his show in center field, looking down at the field at Minute Maid Park on the eve. Not the eve, but just hours away from Game 1 of the World Series.
Why did they call them the Crawford Boxes? What's the reason for that? Do you know that? At Houston?
I do not.
Okay, so that's your assignment for the before game one. Find out why they call it the Crawford Boxes.
I will. I'm on it.
In left field. You are on it in more than one way, Zachary. And we'll see you up at Kamenomenee soon enough. Carter will be 18. You got to be 18 to come to Fantasy Camp.
Okay.
And then we'll get you out there stretching on the Bob Bender Senior Diamond in L. Lewis Field. And we'll go hit some golf balls at the do-over open. You guys will have some fun. Okay. We'll get you up there.
Cannot wait.
Really lock appreciate in, the time. All right. Bravo's in six. And Zach Klein, you can see him on Channel 2 in Atlanta. You guys must have internet feed as well.
We do. WSBTV.com. Hit me up at Zach Klein, WSB on Twitter. Say hello. Come to Atlanta. Drinks on me. Now it's your world. I'm just living in a
place. I was visiting Atlanta. I was staying at a hotel. We were visiting Hannah and Angel. And I was in a hotel room, and I was having a dream about you. Did I ever tell you the story?
No, but you have literally 30 seconds.
I was having a dream, and then I opened my eyes. You were broadcasting about it. Was I don't know if it was a monster truck thing or something. You were on the TV. I fell asleep with Channel 2 on, and there. But I was having a dream. Anyway, thanks for the time, Zachary.
Always, my friend. Be good.
Go Braves. There he goes, Zachary Fitzgerald Klein. His dad named him the middle name after JFK. That's how long and consistent my cousin Mitchell, Zach's dad, has been a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. You talk about a partisan. But he's been consistent. There's something to be said for that. I, on the other hand, have been the model of inconsistency politically. Been all over the board. But for the last 25 years or so, pretty solid libertarian. We're going to be talking a lot about politics coming up. There's been so much, obviously, that has happened on the world scene since I last greeted you before I spent the summer in northern Wisconsin. So many things have happened to me personally. I've been canceled by a bunch of friends over my stand on the pandemic and my personal sense. That's quite a story, but a lot of people are going through it. And as I said earlier, our daughter Hannah is with child, and we're very, very pumped about that. There's never been a person who wanted to be a mom more than Hannah Joy Olson Klein Chiklana now. Never. Speaking of dreams, she had a dream when she and Angel were first dating when she was 16, and The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, was in that dream telling her that she was pregnant and having a girl. So we'll see what happens with that. you can't beat fun of the old podcast, ladies and gentlemen. But we'll talk about all these things and the ongoing insanity that is the Biden administration and what the Republicans are going to have to do and what they should do. And we'll have many times to talk about. We're going to have Spike Cohn, the odds-on favorite to be the Libertarian presidential candidate in 2024. And we're going to be revisited by our man James Valiant, who's another great Libertarian. Catch up with him. And a number of other beautiful humans as I want. And I've got to reach out to Rich Cohn and his dad, Herb Cohn, the famous negotiator that worked for the Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan administrations and was Larry King's best friend. Larry, of course, passed away earlier in the year. And they did a short independent film called Larry and Me about Herb Cohn and Larry King's friendship. And I've been trying to get them on the show, but we'll have many, many opportunities. Sex in the Pews is on maybe permanent sabbatical. There's 313 episodes to enjoy. We'll see. We can still talk about sex and relationships on the show, and we will. But we won't do it the way we did on Sex in the Pews. That was the rawness of that, as we've talked about a lot on Sex in the Pews, was on purpose, with a purpose. And so we're just going to continue doing our thing. This is it is a hobby of mine. It's a passion of mine. And I have a desire to share the love with you beautiful humans and vice versa. So stay in touch. And it gives me opportunity to talk with shows or with beautiful humans like Zach Klein. As I like to always say, I got the voice for radio and Zach got the face for television. Yeah, it's a good gene pool with that family. His mom, Debbie, beautiful woman, absolutely gorgeous. And Mitchell's, they're both movie star good looking. And the Gordon side, Debbie, and the Kleins, and primarily the Diamonds. The Diamonds, Mitchell's mom was, my Aunt Lori was just an incredibly attractive person. And yeah, so it's a good looking family. Carter and Courtney, just gorgeous. But no complaints here, no doubt. All right, well, stay in touch, you guys. My website is glennkleinonline.com. You can go to my coaching site and see the information about early wake-up call and subscribe to the G-Spot blog, which is some very good stuff. I did do some writing for the blog during the summer, which you can check out there at coachglennkline.com. And let me know if you got ideas for shows, or friend me on Facebook or follow me on Instagram, whatever you want to do. This is what we do here online. We'll do it all again next time. And until that time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying stay tuned, because the aforementioned Angel Gabriel's tunage we'd like to close the show with, that really is proclaims our uniqueness and our true identity and our standing as righteous and perfect and holy. That's everybody. So we always finish with "We are love." But we will do it again all next time. And until that time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!
Since you're knocking on the door, you're begging to come in, yeah. Unaware that all the wild has been knocking from within. You are the love you see. Perfect, yet unique, righteous, and holy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you're lost and alone, staring at the unknown, let this word be the promise that guides you back home. We are one, we are love, we are. Knowing you gotta be nothing to complete, it's not a thing that you need, you're the love. Just remember to breathe and take a second off. Look, I'm just trying to remind you that you're